So, some of you know my dog, Millie, but I have a 2-year-old golden retriever named Millie, and I take her on walks, and I find her to be very predictable. We see a squirrel, I know what she's going to do before she knows what she's going to do. I find her to be very predictable, but I have discovered in my life that not all animals are so predictable as my dog. So I was growing up, and we had a farm, and we ran 25 or 30 head of cattle, Santa Gertrudis cows, and a Hereford bull, for those of you that might have interest. And twice a year, we had to work the cattle. So we would call them into a corral that we had, and then push them on into a working chute, catch them in a head gate, give them shots, pour stuff on them so they don't get ticks, and all kinds of things. And it was easy to get them in the corral because we had these things called range cubes. You'd put them in the bucket, you rattle the bucket, and you're like the Pied Piper for cows. They will follow you all over the place. So easy to get them in the corral, but then you got to push them in to the chute. And we had one cow, her ear tag was 22. And we knew that somewhere along the way, number 22 was going to do something crazy. One time she tried to leap the fence and only made it over the top board. It broke and she was like a teeter-totter on this fence until finally that board broke and she ran off and she didn't get her shot that year. But number 22 was predictably unpredictable. You knew she was going to do something crazy. And so one year, I was about 13, 14, my girlfriend came with the family to the farm, and so we got them in the corral, and I'm trying to work them in there, and number 22 decided she wanted to stomp me into the ground. And so she turns around, and she comes after me, and being young and agile and quick, I scrambled up the top of the fence that was kind of like in the backyard where all the ladies were spectating, climbed up on top of the fence, looked at my girlfriend. The cow proceeded to bash into the fence, knock me off the fence, and lay me at the feet of my girlfriend. I was embarrassed. Something like this color, right? Number 22 was predictably unpredictable. And over my life, I have found that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, predictably unpredictable. You don't really know where the Holy Spirit's going to show up. You don't really know how the Holy Spirit's going to show up, but it will. I, people, am living proof that the Holy Spirit does unpredictable things. 25 years ago, in the city of Houston, there is not one single person, probably in the whole universe, that would ever have bet that I would become a United Methodist pastor, preaching to you today. I am proof that the Holy Spirit can do amazing things. I mean, you look at Scripture, and the Holy Spirit has called, God has called and used some pretty strange characters. I mean, Moses led the people out of Egypt, right? He was a Jewish orphan that was raised as an Egyptian prince who became a murderer with a speech impediment. And yet, the Holy Spirit used him. Ruth was a prostitute. The Holy Spirit, God, used her in amazing ways. And Jesus, dead in the tomb. Oh, he's raised up. God works in amazing and mysterious ways. The Holy Spirit is predictably unpredictable. So today is Pentecost. It's the birthday of the church, as Leanne told the kids, and we're really excited about Pentecost. And we're maybe even kind of a little proud about it. But let me just remind you, it's not our holiday. It was a Jewish holiday long before it became the birth of the church. It was actually a festival that was 50 days, get it, Pentecost, from the last festival that they had, which was the Passover. And it was actually a festival of sort of first fruits. It was where they would bring their grain offerings and other offerings to the temple for God. So Christ has been raised up. He's ascended. He's told them, hang around. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And they're hanging around waiting for this to happen. Which brings us to our scripture reading today, which is Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from the heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. So we read in Acts 1, Jesus has promised that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in today's passage, we read that they are all together. It is not at all clear who all is. All might be like the 11 remaining disciples, or all might be sort of all of the followers of Jesus, which we know from Acts 1 numbered about 120. So, I mean, it's sort of like us saying, all y'all were there. We don't really know exactly who all was there, but what we do know is that the Holy Spirit showed up. And the Holy Spirit showed up in a rush of wind. They were sitting there waiting, and it showed up in a spectacular way, with tongues of fire dancing over their heads and them able to speak so that others understand them. I don't know what your experience of the Holy Spirit is, but it has been my experience that sometimes the Holy Spirit will show up just like this, in a really big and amazing way. Sometimes, for me, God shows up and sort of gib-slap me back in the back of the head and say, "Hey, Tyson, pay attention." And there's other times where the Holy Spirit like sneaks up on me. And I have no idea that the Holy Spirit is even working on me until I realize it's already happened. The Holy Spirit is predictably unpredictable in the way that it works in our life. I know that when the Holy Spirit shows up in a place, I know it has arrived because I cry. I have no idea why God has done this to me and to my heart. I think it's probably a divine joke of some sort. But when the Holy Spirit arrives, I cry. I know that it is here. We read in verse 5 that there were devout Jews from all over the place. I mean, the text tells us from all the places in which they gather. And the text tells us that they are hearing in their native languages. Now, I can show you a stack of scholarly discussion about exactly what was happening there. Some say that what was really happening was that they were speaking in tongues. And because it was a proper speaking in tongues where the Holy Spirit was present, they could interpret, they could understand. Other scholars say that no, they were actually given the power to speak in these other languages. And you know what? It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is these people had the Spirit of God revealed to them. The work of God, the power and the deeds of God was revealed to them by these disciples who were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's really all that matters here, is that these people heard the good news and they responded. The mechanics of how they heard it, how they understood it, is not relevant to me. The fact is, they heard it and they understood it. The people were amazed and astonished by what they had seen and heard. These Galileans speaking to them. Apparently, Galileans were not unlike Texans in that we talked funny. They kind of had an accent that followed around that made them easily identifiable as Galileans. And so these Galileans are sharing the good news of Jesus. And we read that some were amazed and some sneered. Some laughed. Some denied the presence of the Holy Spirit at work, saying that they were drunk. This isn't real. And this text reminds us that throughout our life, as the Holy Spirit is working in us and on us, that there will be people who jeer, who laugh, who deny that in fact God is at work in your life. And then Peter stands up and he utters what I think is the funniest verse in the Bible. Peter stands up, raises his voice, and announces, "Jerusalem people, the people, they are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." I mean, the first time I read that, I was like, people, they are not drunk. They are enthused by the Holy Spirit. God has touched them. No, they're not drunk because it's 9 o'clock in the morning. They have been touched by the Holy Spirit. It's not unusual for people to not understand how the Holy Spirit works. In this text, we read that the people were amazed sort of flabbergasted by what the Holy Spirit was doing. When is the last time that you were amazed by the Holy Spirit? When was the last time that you had a moment where the Holy Spirit did something in your life and you went, oh my? I have to tell you, for me, it's every single Sunday. Every single Sunday, I have to prepare a message for you. And I do my homework. I read the scholarly texts. And I pray that the Holy Spirit comes and does something with the mess that comes out my mouth. And every Sunday, the Holy Spirit is at work, despite me, truthfully. I mean, I've preached some sermons that I thought were just rotten eggs. They were terrible. I'm walking out all downcast, and boy, that was a stinker. And one of you comes up and goes, Mike, that's the best sermon I've ever heard you preach. I'm like, thank you, Holy Spirit, because it isn't me. And sometimes I like tell a story about my dog or the cow or something, and somebody comes up and says, Mike, that story you told me, that changed my life. I'm like, yay, Holy Spirit, because that was just a joke to get me through the next part of the sermon. I rely on the Holy Spirit every single Sunday that I come up here to speak to you. It's not ever failed me. Not that every sermon is awesome and that I touch every person the way I wanted them to be touched. But I trust that the Holy Spirit shows up and does something good with the mess that comes out of my mouth. How's the Holy Spirit working in your life? Sometimes it comes in like a freight train. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. But you have to pay attention to it. You have to listen to it. You have to be willing to do what it asks you or tells you to do. And sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. In fact, if it's scary and or uncomfortable, you can probably be pretty sure it is the Holy Spirit. It is at work in your life. So Peter recalls scripture from the prophet Joel. This is what the Holy Spirit is here to do. God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then the best news of all, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the best news of all. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Make room to hear it. Dare to follow it. The Holy Spirit, I promise you, is predictably unpredictable. It will show up at the strangest times, asking you to do the strangest things. Give some room in your life for that. There is room in your heart for the Holy Spirit to move. Won't you make some room today to be moved by the Spirit of God that moves among us? What a gift. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. What a privilege, God, it is to come into your presence, that you send your Holy Spirit to be with us in times of worship, in times of prayer, in times when we are alone. You are present. What a privilege it is to be your follower. Embolden us, Father. Help us to hear your word through the Holy Spirit. Help us to endeavor to do your will, to do the things that the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. And all God's children said, Amen.